Shalom Aleichem, welcome. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Samechei Amad Aleph, 65a, pagination page 129. Starting from the second line at the end of the line, quoting from the Mishnah, Yatzah Sakat Rishona, the first group bringing the Korban Pesach left, the second one came in, second one left, the third one came in. Tana, we learned. That third group, Nikris Kat Atzlonis. It's a lazy group. That's how they would refer to it. Asks the Gemara, lazy group, because they're the last ones. Vahalosagi Delavhochi. You can't function without a third group, as we described. Even if they were able to squeeze everybody into the first two, there's an obligation to do it in three separate groups, as the Mishnah told us, based on the Pasuk, Kahal, Adas, and Yisrael. My Havalu Lemevat, what could they possibly have done? There have to be three groups. Answers the Gemara, Afilu Hachi Boile Lizruze Nafshayhu. Nevertheless, it would be proper for them to hustle, to move quickly and try to be part of the earlier groups. It's a fascinating concept, even though at the end of the day, they're all going to make the Korban Pesach, but they should have tried to be part of the earlier groups. Kidatanya, as we learned, two amazing examples. Even though the world needs two types of people, nevertheless, there's an advantage, there's a desire to be part of a more fortunate group. So just like over here, we would rather have the people part of the first group, not from the third. So here also, the Gemara gives two illustrations of this concept. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe said, Yevshel olam b'lo bosim v'lo bursi. You can't have a world without a perfume maker and without the processor of hides. Ashrim mei she'umnaso bosim. Lucky, fortunate is the person whose craft is perfume. He comes out smelling good. Olo lemisha umnaso bursi. Woe is to the person whose profession is a tanner. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with being a tanner. It's an honest, good living. Nothing wrong with being a garbage collector. It's an honest, good living, no problem. But he's pointing out the world needs both of you, and you're playing a part in the greater scheme. But a person, if he had a choice, he would opt for the one that has the side effect, so to speak, that's more fortunate. So in the original discussion, there's a concept of zrizus, of doing mitzvahs quickly, of excitedly. Fortunate is the person who's part of that group. Here also, fortunate is the person who's part of the group of perfume makers. It has its side benefits. It got added benefit. Continues the Gemara, and this bears commentary. And the world can't function without male and without female. You need them both. Boys and girls. Fortunate is the one whose children are boys. Oilo lemi shabanav nikevos. Woe to the one whose children are girls. What does this mean? So, I'd like to use this as a phenomenal example of projecting one's own biases onto someone else. What do I mean? In our culture, there is an entire backlash, feeling that girls, women, were discriminated against, which may entirely be true, by many cultures. And therefore, there's an entire movement to be fair to women. Taking that knowledge, taking that cultural concern, one reads this Gemara and says, oh, I know what Rebbe was talking about. He was talking about woe to the person who's got girls because of this discrimination. And that is an example of taking one's own bias or experience and projecting it on the speaker. The only way to know what the speaker meant is to go into the speaker's cultural situation and find out what he meant, what concerns he was expressing when he said, "Woe to the one who's got girls." What was he concerned about? But again, to project one's own issues onto the statement, you can make a slogan like that. You could borrow the expression by doing that. But you can't interpret someone's words unless you get to know the person and the milieu, the environment in which he was speaking. I'd like to read for you a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Amud Beis. The Gemara here is listing off different things that were known by other wisdoms, and the Gemara invariably concludes that theme existed as a catchphrase among the Talmidei Chachamim, typically in shorthand, that wise saying was in Jewish literature. The Gemara here says, towards the middle of the Amud, if you do want to look it up, again, Sanhedrin Kuf Amud Beis, 100b, pagination 200, towards the middle of the page, is a description of a daughter and the impact she has on the father. The Gemara says, Mipachta, because of his fear regarding her, Lo Yishen Balaylo, he can't sleep at night. What's the problem? Bikatanusa, when she's young, Shema Tispata, lest she be lured into a relationship. Benarusa, or a non-relationship, but we're talking clean. Benarusa, in her youth, Shema Tizna, maybe she'll act immorally with someone, willingly. Bagra, she gets older, Shema Lotinase, he's worried, she might not get married. Nisei, she gets married, Shema Liyulubanim, maybe she won't have children. Hiskina, she gets older, Shema Tasek Shofim, maybe she'll feel so vulnerable that she'll turn to illicit behaviors to maintain attention towards her. And the Gemara says, okay, I hear your wisdom, that a daughter to her father causes a lot of concern. There's so many very obvious steps that because she's a woman, she's in a certain situation. There's a sexual desire regarding her. How are the men going to behave? All kinds of things that could cause tremendous concern to the father. The Gemara says, I hear your wisdom, I hear your concern. And the Gemara says, Harabana Nami Amruha. That's indeed a rabbinic saying. What's the rabbinic saying? Here goes. Yevsha la'olam b'lo zuchorma v'lo nikevos. It's impossible for the world to function without boys and girls. Asher misha banav zuchorim. Lucky is the one whose children are boys. Oy lo lemi shabanav nikevos. Woe to the one whose children are girls. What are we referring to? We're not referring to boys being better, girls being not better, etc. All kinds of silly things that I shouldn't say they're silly. They have to be addressed according to modern cultures because there's discrimination, there's abuse, there are all kinds of issues. But in terms of what the Gemara had in mind certain very factual and innocent concerns that the father is having. A girl is a girl, and the father is worried about his girl, to the point that the Gemara says it could be he won't be able to sleep at night. And that's the concern here that the Gemara, in a different Gemara, clearly tells you was the concern that was being described. Again, it's a phenomenal lesson how to read a Gemara. We can't just project our own issues into the Gemara. We need to know what the Gemara had in mind when it said what it said. Also, to try to extrapolate from this, is this true in our generation necessarily? I've heard someone quip that as far as parenting goes, it's easier nowadays to produce a good girl, according to Shidduch definitions, than it is to produce a good boy, according to Shidduch definitions. The boy is expected to be diligent in his studies. We could discuss what's expected of the girl, etc. And it's more of a brain teaser here than trying to be definitive. But which one is easier? Which one is better? And these factors, and certainly trying to understand them from the Torah and the Gemara sources so that we understand what was being said, are what's playing out here and the lesson. Again, better to be from an earlier group because it expresses Rizus. Better to be a Bosem, a perfume maker, because the side effects are better. And finally, in the words of the Gemara, better to have boys because you have less concerns. At least that's the way it was presented in their generation, and that the girls presented many, many steps as described in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.